Well, I was here a couple of weeks ago, and I was sitting in the service, and Pastor was preaching, and the Lord dropped a word in my heart, just one word. And I knew that when I came today, it was the word that I was going to speak about. And that word is resilience. Not a common word that I talk every day, and so it was just one of those things that got dropped in my heart, and I had to think about it and give some thought to it. And I know God was speaking to me, but I also believe that he's speaking for you today. By dictionary definition, it is the capacity to recover quickly from difficulties and toughness. I knew God was speaking to me because I'd already had to be tough and resilient in 2018. How about you? Already as the year had opened. Most of you know that I had an encounter with a field mouse at the end of December. I know I look like I took the worst end of the deal, but you should see the mouse. And he is D-E-A-D. And so I am recovering from a broken metatarsal, spiral break in a metatarsal, and I believe that God is putting his super on my natural. And I believe that this week I will be out of casts and boots and all these things. So you just stay in agreement with me, amen? But, you know, sometimes things change so quickly. You know, that was just a moment in my kitchen. I don't know why I reacted like I did, but when that mouse ran across my floor, I just jumped. My husband said, "You jumped for a mouse?" I said, "I don't know. It just, you know, it just came out of me." And I jumped, and when I came down, I just came down sideways. And in a moment of time, I was yelping the name of Jesus and figuring out how I could do some damage to that mouse. And Mickey was soon out in the frozen snow looking like Rizzo the Rat, the popsicle, you know? He was frozen out in the snow. But, you know, in just that moment of time, things changed. And the devil's always trying to do something in our lives to trip us up. I mean, that's the bottom line. He loves to do that. Paul faced all kinds of things, and he described them for the disciples in 1 Corinthians 4:11. He said, "To this hour we've gone both hungry and thirsty. We are roughly knocked about. We toil to weariness from working hard." But then he also talked to them about how the response was to be. And he said, "Men revile us, but we bless them. When we're persecuted, we take it patiently and endure it. And when slandered, we try to answer softly and bring comfort." I like that. We try to answer softly and bring comfort. And then he said, "I don't say this to shame you, but to warn and to counsel you." He said, "After all, though you should have 10,000 teachers to direct you in Christ, yet you not have many fathers." Well, what's the difference between a father and a teacher? Well, it's somebody that you can imitate. It's somebody that shows you what to do, that doesn't just tell you what to do. You know, a lot of people will tell you what you ought to be doing. Have you ever felt like that? Like everybody's got an opinion what I ought to be doing. They tell me what to do. But do you have fathers? Do you have people in your life that will walk alongside of you and show you how to walk it? And they do that not only by just example, but they do it by living it out before you. Amen? And he said, "I want you to know that this word may be bringing you conviction, but it's because I want you to know that in this life, you're going to have some hard knocks. Things can get tough at times, but be of good cheer. God has made you more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. And if you trust him and don't try to fight things out on your own, he'll win the victory for you. He'll bring you through it every time." Then he said, the devil loves to get us all caught up. You know, he loves to get us caught up in the yeah-yeahs of life. He said, "Don't get into controversies. Don't get into debates. You can people have an opinion about everything." You remember when I told you that my friend got a word from God and he told her to put a pin in her opinions. And that was a good word. That was just a good word, a word fitly spoken in due season, because everybody has an opinion. But Paul said, "I am resolved to know nothing and be conscious of nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified." I used to call that just being blonde. But now that I'm white-headed, I'm not blonde anymore, even though I still have symptoms of blondness. I've just resolved in my heart. I know nothing. I'm conscious of nothing. I don't get involved in controversies and debates. I don't get involved in opinions and what I think and what she thinks and what he said and they said and I said and then he said of this. And you can do all that in texting. You don't even have to say anything. You can do all that on your phone. Just be conscious of nothing but Christ and him crucified. I resolve not to get all caught up in putting my two cents in everything. I keep my eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. I don't waste my time getting caught up in it because I instead want to use my time and my energies to live by faith and be a witness for Christ. Amen? Because we don't just witness with our mouths. We witness with our lives. It's a lot more important what you're living than just what you're saying. Philippians 1:27 says this. It says, and don't for one moment be intimidated by your adversary, the devil. Did you know people are not your adversaries? The devil's your adversary. And the Word of God says, don't for one moment be intimidated by your adversary, the devil, for your constancy. You know, if you just hold steady, your constancy and fearlessness, don't get all like, this is happening, that's happening. He said, and she said. Don't let fear get in your heart. He said, your constancy and your fearlessness will be a sure token of the devil's impending destruction and a sure token of your deliverance. So did you know that just your holding steady is a weapon of warfare? Just your staying even is a weapon of warfare? Just you not getting all emotionally crazy is a weapon of warfare? And if you'll just hold steady, it'll be a sure token to the devil of his impending destruction and a sure token of your deliverance. You'll come through every time if you just hold steady. If you just hold steady. Staying steady is a weapon of warfare. I was typing my notes and my Bible flipped open to the back and I had a quote in there with nobody that had said it, just a quote written in my Bible. It said, don't give negativity any breath. I thought, oh, this is good. Just happened to see it at the right time. Don't give negativity any breath. The challenge we all have is controlling our mouth. But that's why you have to back up and get your thoughts in line with God's word. Because as you renew your mind with the word of God and you think on the things that are pure and lovely and of a good report, and his word is always a good report, amen, and you take no thought for tomorrow, and all of the evil thereof, you keep your thoughts in line with his word, and then out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak, and it'll speak excellent and princely things, and the opening of your lips will be for right things, and your mouth will utter truth because it's out of the abundance of your heart. You can't control your mouth from your mouth. I mean, how many times have you tried to... Isn't that what we did in the world, right? I shouldn't have said that. We're always trying to control our mouth, but you can't control your mouth from the mouth because it's out of the abundance of your heart that your mouth speaks. So you got to control your mouth from your heart. You got to make sure your heart is full of God's word. You got to make sure that you're rehearsing and singing these songs of victory. You got to be sure you're singing his name is victory. You know, you got to be sure you're singing those songs. That's why we worship on Sunday mornings and learn new songs so that those songs can carry with you. I wake up hearing these songs, don't you? Because they get in your spirit. They're filled with God's word. They're filled with faith. And they're songs of deliverance. God said he'll give you a song of deliverance. Sometimes he gives you your own song. I love when he gives me my own song. Just a song that's just for the moment. It's a spirit song. And it just comes up out of my heart. And it's a song of my deliverance. And I can sing it. And I can hold on to it. And I can by faith receive it. And just the melodies of these songs just rolling in your heart when you're working and doing the things of the day, just keep those songs rolling in you. Thank God we can keep our spirit filled by be ever filled and stimulated with the power of the Holy Spirit, speaking to yourselves and to one another in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. You can speak to yourself in spiritual songs. You can keep them going in your heart all day long and keep yourself filled. Amen. Psalm 17, verse 3 says, I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. My mouth shall speak wisdom. My mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts. That's what it will do. It's not going to do all the other, but it will speak of your righteous acts. I didn't put the reference down, but there's a scripture that says, put a guard over my lips that I may not come to ruin. And we have to be satisfied with the words that we speak, whether for good or evil, Proverbs says. So we'll have to be satisfied with it. So if you're going to be satisfied with long life worth living, we're going to have to start speaking differently. Now, I'm not just preaching to you today. I'm preaching to me too. Because especially as your years go on and your seasons change, you start to buy into those things like, well, I don't know, who said these were the golden years? You know? And your body kind of gives you a little bit of challenge a little bit more, and you have more in your head to do than your body wants to do. And sometimes that's what trips me up, is that I'm moving so fast in my head, but my body's not up to the speed, you know? And so you have to be careful that you don't buy into that and say, well, I'm just getting... Well, you fill in the blank. Keep ourselves renewed in the spirit of our mind. Philippians 4:7 says, don't fret or have anxiety about anything, but just pray about everything. And God's peace that passes all understanding will put a guard about your heart and your mind. Well, if your heart and your mind is being guarded, then your mouth will be all taken care of, right? Because if we guard our heart and mind, then out of our heart and out of our mind, we'll be speaking those excellent things. We'll be saying the right thing. You still won't understand it all. Believe me, you'll have things that you'll say, I don't understand why this happened or how this happened or that it happened to me. But he said there is a peace that surpasses your understanding. It just absolutely surpasses your understanding. And when you have a hold of that peace, you can hold steady. Paul told the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4, that this was the cause of his mentioning them with pride among the churches for their unflinching endurance and patience in the midst of persecutions, crushing distresses, and afflictions under which they were holding up. How would you like that to be Faith Alive's reputation? Hey, I'm so proud of Faith Alive. They are an amazing group of people. They have had a lot to go through, but they have endured patiently. And as a people, they get knocked down, but they never get knocked down. They're always back on their feet. They're always loving. They're always giving. They're always speaking good of each other. I mean, don't you want that to be the reputation of your church? I mean, I think that's amazing that Paul was bragging about that particular church because of their ability to do that. And I thought, I want to buy into that. I want to be a part of something like that. You know, I want to be a part of that. Romans says, we've said it already this morning, we have the same spirit in us that raises Christ from the dead. It's the spirit of resurrection. It puts us back on our feet when we are utterly knocked down. Psalms 34:17 says, we call upon the Lord and he delivers us from all of our distresses. Just keep calling on the Lord. He doesn't mind you calling him. You know, sometimes you say, okay, she's been calling me all day long. Well, God doesn't mind you calling all day long. I know some people whose kids call them 14 times a day. I think I'm just trying to get them to call me once a week. You know? But they call them all day long, and they say, my kids call all day long. I say, well, gee, you should be thankful they stay in touch so well. I think the Father likes that when we call on him all day long. We're just constantly calling him. We don't do anything without calling on God. We just call, we recognize our utter dependence upon him. You know, once this news got out about me breaking my foot, I just started getting inundated with people that were like, oh, we're so sorry, we're so, you know, we feel so bad for you. And I really honestly felt embarrassed because I'm at home receiving messages from dear friends in Missouri whose 10-year-old is facing cancer. I'm getting calls from my friends in California who've lost their home in a mudslide. My best friend's husband passed away. I mean, all these things are happening, and I felt embarrassed to think people were upset for me because I broke a foot, because I really believe that is light affliction. I mean, I don't like hobbling around in a crutches. I don't like having a boot on my foot, but this is but light affliction. And sometimes we need to get things in our life in perspective. You know, I know people that can't handle very much without just falling apart. And we got to get tougher than that. Because in this world, we will have tribulation. We just got to be honest. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 through 18, it says that but our light momentary afflictions, these slight distresses of the passing hour, are ever and more abundantly preparing and producing and achieving for us. See, there's something good already that's happening out of it, because they're achieving for us an everlasting weight of glory, surpassing all comparisons of vast and transcendent glory never to cease. Verse 18, since we look not and consider not the things that are seen. For the things that are seen, they are visible and they are temporal, brief and fleeting. But the things that are invisible are deathless and everlasting. This boot, you see it today, but next week you will see it no more. Anything you can see right now in your life is temporary. It's fleeting. It's passing away. It's going to change. It won't be the same next week, next month. These things are light, momentary afflictions, but they work in us a weight of glory. You know, I've had a lot of, not boots in my life, but trip-ups in my life. A lot of things that have knocked me down, all the way from a 12-foot ladder onto a concrete floor. I've had a lot of trip-ups in life. Broken back, broken sternum, told to never walk again, never preach again. Things, just all kinds of opportunities. Told I had a brain aneurysm at one point. Turned out to be TMJ. You know, I've had all kinds of diagnoses. I've had all kinds of difficulties, difficult times. I've had all kinds of times when the bank account was nothing, and then suddenly it was filled up again. I've had all kinds of times when my kids just were, I was tearing my hair out, and then times when I was so proud of them, I couldn't hardly contain it in my chest. You know, things seen are so subject to change, but it has worked in me a weight of glory, and I know what it's like to have weight. I weighed 285 pounds at one point. I know what it's like to have weight. All the guys in my hometown used to call me when they slipped in the ditch in the winter because they said, Big Mama, she'll come push us out. And I was known for my ability to just put my weight against those cars. They'd rev the engine, and I put my weight against it. I could help push those cars out of the ditch. I don't have that kind of weight now in the natural, but you know what? I have weight in glory. And I can tell people now, you know what? You're going to come out of that ditch. I can help put my weight against it, prayer. I can help put my weight against it with faith. I can help them and say, you know, things are going to work out. Even though you're devastated right now, you're so disappointed right now, you're hurting so bad right now, this too will pass. You will come through because you're passed through valleys of weeping. And he makes them, and he says, you make them places of springs because you begin to let the word of God and the songs of the Spirit bubble up on the inside of you, and it's spring up, oh well. Spring up, oh well, and you begin to let that praise arise, and you begin to let your declarations of victory arise, and you begin to speak God's word, and you come through. You come through the other side of it. And we need to be that for one another. Backing up to chapter 4, verse 7, God said, let your light shine out of darkness, the illumination of the knowledge of the majesty and the glory of God, because we possess this precious treasure, the divine light of the gospel, in frail human vessels of earth. I mean, our vessels are so frail. Our vessels are not anything glorious. But we possess this divine treasure in these vessels. And it's the glorious light of the gospel. There isn't anything great about me, but there's something great about my God. And when you possess that God in your earthen vessel, you begin to do great things. You begin to be able to greatly overcome. You begin to be able to greatly push through and see the victory in situations. And he says that we are hedged in and pressed on every side, troubled and oppressed in every way, but we're not cramped or crushed. We suffer embarrassments and are perplexed and unable to find a way out, but we are not driven to despair. We are pursued and hard driven, but not deserted to stand alone. We are struck down to the ground, but we are never struck out and destroyed. The message today is not to say, poor me or poor you. It's rather to say, get a grip. Get a grip. 1 Peter 4, 12 through 14 says, beloved, Think it not strange concerning the fiery ordeals and trials, as if some strange thing has happened to you. How many times when things happen to you that are difficult do you say, I don't know why this is happening to me. What in the world is going on? I do. Do you? I'll say, how could something like this happen? Or what is going on? And he said, think it not strange when these things come. He said, how many of you face it? This comes with the territory. He said, because the trying of your faith is more precious than of gold that perisheth. It's more precious. In this life, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome for you. Don't accept the failure or defeat, but instead, he tells us to rejoice, for the spirit of glory of God rests on you. That's where he said to rejoice. He said, are you supposed to be happy when these trials come? I don't think so. Don't be happy that you have a trial, but be happy that the spirit of God is resting on you. Rest means that it remains upon you and supports you, that no matter what you go through, you have the spirit of God in you and resting upon you. You have divine power supporting you and assisting you with favor, increase, and glory. This stuff is all temporal, and something far greater to look forward to is happening, eternity. If we walk in the resurrection power that God gave us, that we have that same spirit, he said, I'll raise you up just like I raised Jesus up. He said, therefore, do not become discouraged, spiritless, exhausted, or wearied out by fear. For when you are weak, he shows himself most strong. Paul said he learned to glory in his weakness. I can't say that I've gotten where I glory in my weakness yet. Like, glory, glory. I kind of half-heartedly glory in my weakness, you know? I don't like being weak. I like being strong. But, you know, the truth is that if we learn to glory in it and just admit, we're weak. We don't handle this stuff very well. God, I need you to be strong in me right now and call upon the name of the Lord, because I know that as we draw our strength from him and say, I'm not going to get caught up in fighting my own battles. I'm going to let him turn my disappointments, my frustration. I'm going to turn all this stuff, my kids, my boss, my family, over to God. I'm going to let him do a work, and no one's even going to have believed it. He said, I'll do a work that you wouldn't even have believed if I'd told you ahead of time. I'll do something so supernatural in these situations, but only if you let me get involved. If you want to handle it yourself, just go ahead. You just handle it and see what you come out with. I want to get my hands off those situations and let God handle them so that I can have the victory and that I can see his glory. I can see him working through it. I can see him bringing out the victory in it, and I can just rejoice that it was God who favored me, that it was God who rested upon me, it was God who brought me through that. There is nothing I get credit for, and I love that. I just love it when I don't take any credit at all. It wasn't because I had such great faith. It wasn't because I prayed long and hard. It wasn't because I stood so strong. It's that I just leaned into the greater one. I just leaned into him. I just said, God, I admit I can't handle this. I admit that this really me off. But I know that if you get involved in it, you'll bring me through. You'll cause me to conquer. I know that if I lean on you, you've got a good end to the story, because you said there's hope for the final outcome. And it ain't over yet. No matter what stage you're at with it, it isn't over yet. It isn't over yet. Now, here's the good news. If God gave me this word to speak to you today, I know it wasn't just to cheer myself up or just to get a grip this year by singing these songs, but I think you're probably recognizing right now that, like me, you need to quit griping and start gripping. You can gripe or you can grip. You need to get a grip on your faith. You need a grip. Nobody promised that this Christian walk is going to be a bed of roses. If they did, they forgot to tell you about the thorns. And there are opportunities, he said. Just face it. In this life, you're going to have this stuff, but you're made of the stuff that can make it. You're made of it. You've got something inside of you that's greater than anything you face. And it will get stronger, and it will get more developed, and you'll have greater weight in glory if you just choose not to look at the things seen, but to call them temporal, fleeting, and passing away, and call God's word eternal. And then turn it over to God and say, God, only you can work this together for good. Only you can bring me out on the high side of this. Only you can deal with that kid. Only you can help this situation. Only you can bring it. And let him handle it. Just let him put his hands on it. And you just get your grip on God. Amen? He's waiting for you to ask for his help, because you have not if you ask not. And then he's waiting for you to do the one thing that can produce change in you if you really want to change. If you really want to be someone who gets a grip and not a gripe. Then he said, this is the one thing you need to do, and you need to abide in me. Because if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you'll be able to ask what you will, and it shall be done. That means answers to prayer. And he said, you will bear much fruit. That means long-suffering and temperance and patience and self-control and all those things that we wish we had more of. And if I only had more, if I just could be more, well, that's fruit. And it doesn't come by white knuckling. I gotta love these people. It comes by abiding. And the more you abide, the more your fruit just pops out, because you've been with Jesus. Isn't that what always came up? They looked at them. They said, they're unlearned men. Who are these hustlers out here? But they recognized they'd been with Jesus. They weren't the most noble. They weren't the most intellectual. They weren't the most this or the most that, but they had been with Jesus, and it was recognizable. And when you abide in him and his words abide in you, you got it made, because he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. The sooner I learned that, I mean really learned it, I mean I used to say it, I can't do anything without Christ. But I would do all kinds of things on my own, with my own strength, with my own ingenuity, with my own creative plans, with all kinds of things, and I would just wear myself out trying to do it and get frustrated with people along the way. And then I just started abiding and just started flowing with him. I haven't perfected it by any means, but I'm a long way. I've come a long way, baby, to letting go and letting God. And he is continually perfecting the things which concern me. John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. We've all tried and failed to change ourselves. I'm 66, and I tell people all the time, if it's just a matter of white-knuckling it and changing yourself, I would have done this a long time ago. I've been walking with God now 40-some years. I would have just gotten it all. I just laid on the carpet long enough to let him just do it all. But it doesn't happen that way. We go from strength to strength and glory to greater glory. And we just keep applying this word, and we just keep doing the last right thing God told us to do. And we just keep in that word every day, and we just keep renewing our minds, and we just keep choosing life, blessing instead of cursing. We just keep choosing every day to be conscious of nothing but Christ and him crucified. We do this little thing, la, 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 la. La, 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 la. You say, oh, I have to hear so much at work. I have to listen to so la, 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 la. You can have songs going on the inside of you. Just keep singing along. Just keep meditating on God's word. Just keep yourself filled, ever filled and stimulated with the power of the Holy Ghost, speaking to yourself. And when you have a chance, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Make melody in your heart to the Lord. Amen. Getting a grip instead of a gripe. Resilience. Responding quickly, easily. What was that definition again? All the way back to the first page of the notes. Resilience. The capacity to recover quickly from difficulties. Toughness. Toughness. Can you relate? This is just where the rubber meets the road, you know. This is just stuff we have to live every day. It may not be super spiritual today, but sometimes we need to take the super spiritual things and just talk about practical things, because how do we get the victory? You got to do it this way. You got to make constant choices. You don't just choose one day. I choose Jesus as Lord of my life, And then all of your life just goes, no. It says choose today. This day, choose life. This day, choose life. Tomorrow, you're going to have to choose again. Probably several times during the day, you're going to have to make choices. I know I do. Several times a day, I have to make choices. I don't even always make the right one. But when I get knocked down, I say, I'm knocked down, but I'm not out. Get back on my feet again. You know my motto, keep moving. You said, you're going to go preach today? I said, yeah, in the boot. I'm going to go do it because that's what I do. I keep moving. Because I've found through the years that if I stop, if I sit down and I give up and I give in and I say, oh, I can't do that and I won't be able to do this, and the next thing you know, I'm just totally confined. The devil's got me right where he wants me. But I just keep moving. Because there's things that I can do. There's a whole lot of things you can do in a boot. I can still pray. So I've had a house full of people in since the first of the year praying. Now, I've had to have a lot of help, and some of the ladies in here know it because they've had to come help clean because I couldn't get up the stairs and back down again. But, you know, God brings assistance, and he helps you to stay on your feet, and he'll help you to keep a grip. And if that's your heart today, I don't know, am I talking to anybody in here? You know, because I don't want to be a griper. I want to be a gripper. I want to have a grip on faith. You know, my pastor in Texas, he used to take a microphone. I don't know that I'll do it because I'm not that good at catching, but he'd throw it up in the air and then he'd grab it. Say, just get a grip. I won't do it, Josh, because I'm no patriot. I know that football's on your minds, but I'll just get a grip while telling you the story. But I want to pray for you today. That you'll get a grip and that you'll recognize that these things are common to man. Sometimes we feel like we're the only one, like we're his target. We're a sitting duck and he's just popping us one right after another. He's in the deer blind and he's just waiting for us. And believe me, there's a lot of times that I have gotten knocked down so many times in a season, you know, just day after day in a season. It's just kind of like, you know, it was the boot, then the next day it was something else, and you know, it was the mouse, and then it was something else the next day, and the next day it was just like the first of the year. And it was just the devil trying to get me to lose my grip on 2018, because I've been declaring signs and wonders and miracles and demonstrations of God. And he was just trying to take me out of the fight, and every day there was something, and I thought, you know, okay, enough is enough. And I just wanted to lay down dead like the mouse. And just pretend, I'm gone, devil. Go bother somebody else. You got me where you want me. I'm on the floor. I'm dead. But you know what? I have the same spirit in me that lives in Christ. The one that raised him up from the dead. It's the spirit of resurrection. And the spirit of with the spirit of resurrection, you just can't keep a good gal down. And you can't keep a good guy down. Because you've got that spirit on the inside of you. And it won't let you stay down. You might stay down for an hour. You might stay down for a day. You might even stay down for a week if you meditate on it. Give place to it. Give thought to it. But eventually that spirit's going to start singing in you. He's going to start speaking in you. He's going to start reminding you of scriptures you've read. He's going to send somebody by your door to remind you. He's going to have somebody call and say, I've been praying for you. And you'll be wanting to say things like, well, just quit praying. I don't want any prayer. If you get down far enough, you don't even want anybody to speak a good word to you. But all of a sudden, it's like yeast. It just starts to rise. It just starts to turn in you. And you start getting back up on your feet again. You start fighting the good fight of faith again. You start living life again when it seems like life is over. Because I know there's things that happen that it just takes the wind from your sails. You just feel like, this is it. But my life is over. But your life's not over. There's lots more to walk. Amen? The only way you can have that kind of power in your life, though, is to have Christ in your life. Because it's not about you white knuckling. It's not about you pulling yourself up by the bootstrap. You can't just do this on your own. You can't just depend on yourself. You can't just say, oh, you know, okay, that was a good motivational message. I just need to get a grip. No, you need to get Jesus. You need to get a grip on God. Whether you've been raised Catholic or Protestant or Methodist or Episcopalian. I don't know. In my hometown, all my friends were Catholic. I knew I wasn't a Catholic because I didn't go to Catholic church. So I figured I was a Protestant. And my family didn't go to church. But when people asked me what my religion was, I said, I think I'm a Protestant. Because I knew I didn't do any of this. So I figured I must be, you know, I'm not a kneeler. So I must be just Protestant. And then one day I saw a nun in a church and she had her hands raised up to God. And I looked over and I was really, you know, just a newborn Christian. I was a little, ooh, what are they doing? Lifting their hands and stuff like that, you know. And I tried and I got them up about this far. And then I saw her with her hands higher. I looked over and saw a nun with her hands up like that. I thought, well, if a Catholic can do it, I know a Protestant can. That was the way I thought. If she can do it, she's a Catholic. Then I know I can do it. I put my hands straight up in the air. But all of us come by one way. We just come by really inviting Christ into our lives and allowing him to take lordship. We talked about it. We sang it today. Suzanne challenged us to put him on the throne of our heart. But it really is just that one initial step where you have to open your life to Christ. And after that, he rushes in. I mean, I just kind of half prayed. Jesus, if you're real, if you're the Son of God, and if you have a plan for my life, I invite you into my life. And he just rushed in because he knows who he is. I didn't know who he was, but he knew who he was. So when I said, if you are, if you are, if you are, he said, okay, I am, so I'll come. And within 2 weeks, I was so sure that God was real, I wondered where I had missed this profound truth, how I could have gone all 21 years of my life and not known that there was a God. And the transformation began. And he's still changing me from glory to glory and from strength to strength. And I know he'll do the same for you. Before we close this service, if there's anyone here today and you've never taken a step to ask Christ into your life, you've never prayed that prayer just to invite him. Maybe you have been raised in church, but you don't remember a time when you gave him lordship, where you said, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life, not just the Lord of my church or the Lord of my family or the Lord out there that I acknowledge, but I want you to be the Lord of my life. If you're here today and you've never prayed that prayer, would you just raise your hand? And I'm not going to ask you to get out of your seat. I'm just going to pray with you right where you are. But is there anyone that has never made that commitment to Christ? And today you say, I need him. I recognize that I can't pull myself up by the bootstraps. I've got to have his strength. Anyone at all that's in that situation? Hallelujah. Well, I take it you're all born-again believers. Can you wave your hand if you're a born-again believer? Yeah? All the way? I was going to say, don't let me down now. How about down here? Come on. All right. Just raise those hands. Protestants, Catholics, all of you, you know. Maybe we just do that. Just raise them up if you're a born-again believer. Because I've been known to come out and just come right in your face. So you better get your hand up, right? Hallelujah. No. I love you so much. And I know I can't be a father to you today. I can only be a mother. But as a mother, I want to encourage you to walk that walk of faith, that there's people watching. There's people listening. And there's people that are looking at you, and you're the only Jesus that they will ever know. And so take it upon yourself to demonstrate his love and his grace and his grip on faith so that people can look at you and they can know who he is. Amen? Amen. Father, I thank you today for this congregation. I thank you for the precious lives that each one individually represents. I thank you, Lord, for your help. You're such a present help. And I thank you that you help them today to quit griping and start gripping. In whatever area of their lives, Father, just as you came and you cleaned out some stuff in my house, my vessel, I thank you that you do the same for them today. You just show them, Father, where they may have gotten caught in the trap of the enemy and just given over in their thoughts and their words and in their walk to the enemy's intimidations. And that they would start getting a hold on you and start standing so strong that they would not be moved by the things that they see that are so temporal, so fleeting. They'll not be moved by people that that say this or say that or speak this or speak that. Even when men revile them, they'll just rise up and have comforting words for them as best they can, Father. Because you said just like Paul tried to always speak softly and comforting words. I'm sure there's a few times he failed because he said that when I want to do these things and I don't always do what I want to do, that who can deliver me from this flesh? Who can deliver me from this personality that I have? And he said, thank God through Jesus Christ. Thank God that you're doing a work in all of us, Father God, to make us more like you. And that's our desire. And we say today, Father God, that we work with you. We cooperate with you in the change in our lives. Just change us, Father. Rearrange us, Father. Make us new. Let all those old patterns in our lives pass away and let all things become new. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. I know there's going to be fellowship out in the hall. So I look forward to meeting some of you that I haven't met yet. And have a great day.